Good afternoon and welcome to the New York Society Library. I'm Sarah Holliday, Library Events Coordinator, and I'm standing here simply to thank Alexander Sanger, who is sponsoring today's performance in honor of Jeanette Watson Sanger. His generosity enables us to bring some formats to the members' room that we wouldn't otherwise be able to offer, and that includes today's one-of-a-kind play and a developmental reading. I'm now going to hand proceedings over to Lizzie from Parchment Books.
Parchment Books is extremely excited to have with us today Miss Murasaki Shikibu, the author of The Tale of Genji, which is often considered the first novel in the world. This incredible piece of classical Japanese literature follows the tumultuous emotional life and loves of the titular character, Prince Genji. The novel is still held with high regards around the world and influenced many of our greatest writers. As many of you know, we at Parchment Books have started a little series called the Book Birthday Series, and we're kicking it off with The Tale of Genji as it celebrates its millennium. we actually don't know that when it exactly was written, but and it was written over the course of many years, but we do know it was sometime around today, a thousand years ago. To our extreme surprise and delight, Miss Murasaki Shikibu has crossed time and waters to join us here today, and she's agreed to join us in a conversation about her masterpiece, The Tale of Genji. As well as her diary, which is published also. Please note that when we programmed this evening's or afternoon's event, we said that there were going to be panelists, plural, but as in more than one expert on the subject, but in a strange turn of events, only the author showed up. So we will not have panelists, plural. I do apologize for the inconvenience, but please note that the author is perhaps the best subject, the best expert, you know, on the subject. Also, it did say panelists TBD on all of our notices, so we were not posting false advertisements and are therefore not liable to any legal action against us, for misrepresentation, and no refunds will be given. Also, this event is free. But we do take donations. We will take donations in either of the two buckets on these, or jars on these tables here. I'm sorry, one. One bucket on that table right there. All proceeds go to the betterment of my favorite local book. I mean, your favorite local bookstore, Parchment Books, founded circa 1980s. Yes, following this talk, we will host a questions and answers session about the book. Please be reminded what an honor it is to have Miss Murasaki in our presence. And because of that, she's asked us to follow a few rules for this questions and answers session. Okay, number one. Please respect her privacy and space. Number two, do not speak unless spoken to. And when you speak with respect, those who ask disrespectful questions may be removed from the premises. Number three, do not ask how she is here. No, she is not a zombie. Finally, after the questions and answers session, we will have a book signing. If you did not bring a copy, unfortunately, we did not have this title in stock, and the order we placed was lost by the United States Postal Service, so I don't recommend using their services anymore. But rest assured, a replacement order has been placed, and it will arrive any day now. In the meantime, we can
the copy when you receive it.
Okay, we have also collected some used copies from the local college, but I do understand that all are missing anywhere from 200 to 300 pages. Okay, you're ready to begin, and we are ready to begin. Please welcome to the stage Lady Murasaki Shikibu. I'm so sorry, I was not finished. Okay, please turn off all cell phones and other devices that radiate technology. And absolutely no flash photography. And but do note for later that the official event hashtag is hashtag I met Murasaki Shikibu at Parchment Books. And please come back next month when we welcome Jane Howdy Shell and her new autobiography, Nobody Knows My Name, but it's hella fun to say. Now, without further ado, please welcome Miss Murasaki Shikibu. Normally I am, because I'm a thoughtful person. Normally, when you're walking by down the street and you walk by strangers, you walk by them without really thinking about them. But this one time, I noticed that this fancy thin lady walking towards me was wearing a fur scarf, like a fur stole. And so I had to notice. Oh, important context. This was August. So in my mind, I was like, fancy thin lady, aren't you hot? Do you realize that you are sacrificing your well-being for your fashion choices? Because heat stroke is no joke. I have this friend, Seisho Nagon. Well, she's not actually my friend, but we talk like we're friends, so I guess we're friends. Anyway, I have this friend, say, who has a niece twice removed who, well, maybe it's a second niece, third niece, fourth niece, far niece? I don't actually know how they're related. Anyway, this woman I know named Seisho Nagon has a niece-like relative who died of heat stroke. Died. Granted, this was in like 1000 CE and there were no air conditioners or any kind of scientific understanding of the body. Also, she probably had to work in a field all day, and there were no labor laws to stop her from working literally all day. But still, heat stroke kills people. But even if it was cold, I still would have noticed her because no one wears fur anymore, like ethically. It was one of those things that we as a population naturally determined was not cool, like opium. And smoking indoors, and cocaine. Do you do cocaine? Also, what is cocaine? I don't actually want to get into cocaine, though. I want to talk about walking by people and looking at them. Do you do it? Because once I noticed this fancy thin lady, I forgot how my eyes functioned. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, not literally, but also kind of literally. Like, do I look at her? If I look away, will I crash into her? Can I look at her with one eye and not with the other? Is that possible? If I dart my eyes back and forth between her and the sidewalk, will I seem like a crazy person? What about with my eyes to the floor usually? How do I not crash into things more often? When was the sidewalk last clean? Why is all this trash here? There's a garbage can right there. Basically, I was panicking. But then I realized I was so preoccupied with my internal panic that I didn't notice I actually had already walked past her, and it was all over. So in conclusion, every time you walk by someone, just panic, and everything will be okay. Maybe I wasn't fair to judge fancy thin lady for her fur stole. I mean, maybe she was thin because she was diseased, and maybe she needed a fancy fur stole, like, medically. I don't know. What? Like now? You really think they need it?
I think it might be a nice.
I mean, I guess I can. Hi, I'm Murasaki Shikibu. Well, actually, that's probably not true. Murasaki is not my real first name. It's the name of a character in my book. And Shikibu is not my last name. It's just a title my father had. He was the master of ceremonial. I don't know what that means either. But most people call me Lady Murasaki because it would be weird to call me Murasaki, the master of ceremonial. That's just long and dumb. Kind of like my book. Oh yeah, I wrote a book. I wrote this thing, and it's pretty famous. It's actually the first novel in the world, asterisk. Sorry if you have to bring a book from home. It's really heavy. How long is it actually, like a billion pages? Really have to be that long. I mean, it makes sense that it was long because there wasn't Netflix or anything, and like I had to keep the people entertained. I mean, obviously there are longer books out there like Tolstoy and stuff, but Tolstoy wrote books when books were a real thing. I wrote the first novel in the world, asterisk. Like, did I have to make it so long? What did I have to prove? I really do think Tolstoy and I and all the other famous genius dead people really should have thought about like how heavy a full copy of our novels were going to be. Like, people have serious back problems and scoliosis because of books like ours. So, my bad. Mea culpa. Sorry I had to write the first novel in the world, asterisk, and my artistry could not be contained in brevity. I have to keep saying asterisk, by the way, because apparently the fact that I wrote the first novel in the world is debatable in this century. But you know, give a smart and talented female-identifying person of color a break, right? Like, who cares about Cervantes? He was like 200 years after me, and also, he's a dick. The debate about the first novel is mostly centered on the discussion of what is a novel? But to that I say, well, like, what is life? My book is at least the first psychological novel, according to, like, official novel people, but what does that even mean? Psychological novel? Like, therapy? I guess most books are kind of like the author's own therapy, according to, like, official therapy people, but it makes my book sound super illegit. That's a word, right? Illegit?
Illegitimate.
Non-legit. Anti-legit. Anti-legitimate. Anti-chamber. Anti-Christ. Antebellum self. English is weird. Okay, those who are curious can go ask Miss Merriam and Mr. Webster later. Let's talk about the real stuff. Juice cleanses. That's a thing now. I could never do a juice cleanse. I have to eat more than that. But I had a poor friend once, and she was always like, all I'm eating is rice. And she was fine. I mean, TBH, if I were alive, I could never do a juice cleanse. I have to eat more than that. But you do you. Also, have you noticed? Like, weird new fruits and vegetables are coming out of nowhere. Like acai. But do you notice how every time people list acai on the menu, they, like, give you a pronunciation guide? Like, acai. Which, if you're gonna go that far, just spell it like it sounds. You made it up anyway! Japanese. Do you have them? And I was like, no, I have no idea what that is. That is not Japanese. And he was like, they're new and they'll prevent cancer. And I was like, oh my God, shut up, Cervantes, you're already dead. You know, I talk a lot of smack about Cervantes, but I haven't seen him in like decades. This whole dead thing is kind of weird. I mean, some people are just gone, but some people, lots of famous people, like me, obviously, so we kind of like hang around wherever, sort of. I always thought that when I was dead, I'd get to hang around like really cool dead people, like ancient Egyptian gynecologists. But instead, I just hang around the same boring people I hung out with when I was alive. Like Say. You remember Say? My friend who had a niece-like relative? Yeah, her. I mean, she's not actually my friend because, like, I really hate her. Like, she's the literal worst. Oh, no! I had the weirdest dinner with her and her husband the other day. We were talking about why more people aren't inspired to kill people I am literally in the middle of a story. why more people don't become murderers after reading murder mystery novels. And then I had a moment where I just, like, I recognized that Say and her husband were a couple. And then all of a sudden, I just watched them having sex in my brain for a few seconds. Which freaked me out because, you know, you don't really think of your friends in this sexual way. I mean, that's the whole point of friends, right? To, like, have relationships with people that are non-sexual. So then I was like, whoa, you know? Am I not going to be able to think of my friends in the same way again after I know them in, like, this sexual context? Do I have to shift my whole worldview or, like, rearrange my friend preferences or something? Because that just seems hard. But then the thing was, like, something about, like, I don't know. Oh, radishes? Like, what are radishes and where do they come from? And then we talked about radishes like idiots for an hour, and I forgot about the image of them having sex, and it was fine. And I was fine. And, you know, I was just really proud that I was able to get over that tough moment, you know?
Ms. Morsaki, if I may.
Okay.
Perhaps before we start talking about other writers, like Seishonago.
She is not a writer.
Regardless, perhaps you could talk a little bit about yourself for our audience.
I don't know. These people kind of know me. I mean, they came for me, essentially.
Yes, but you lived a life so long ago, there aren't a lot of concrete facts about your life, and there's always something special about hearing it from the person herself.
Well, I mean, I wrote this book. I wrote some poems. I'm really good at poems. I wrote a diary, and then at some point I died.
Maybe something more akin to the details of the life you led, in your country, your job, your family, while you were alive, of course.
Well, I lived 1,000 years ago in Japan. You all know Japan? It's this tiny country made up of islands like way over that way. Japan, actually, they have a lot of issues and is really bad at relationship management, and apparently all their problems stem from their tectonic plates, but I think it's just a phase. After I died, I moved to America to see what all the fuss was about. I mean, everyone everywhere is always like, America this, America that. Actually, everyone in America is also kind of like, America this, America. Like, it's not all about you, America. I mean, yeah, you're a big deal, and you make pizza super cheap, which is great, but, like, stop talking about yourself. In that way, America is kind of like Seishonago. Yeah, she just talks and talks about her thoughts and her needs and her judgments, and she's a terrible poet, and I just want to squeeze her lips. I mean, look up obnoxious in the dictionary and you will see obnoxious, comma, adjective, one, objectionable, two, Seishonago. The Pillow Book, right? I mean, who here has read The Pillow Book, written by Seishonago? I mean, it's okay if you have. I won't judge you. I will just hate you a little bit.
I mean, the Pillow Book gets read as part of an academic curriculum. I mean, so does the Tale of Genji, but because the Pillow Book is shorter, some people actually are forced to read all of it as literature. I mean, come on, people. Say basically just wrote down some court gossip and some sex tips, and now she's an acclaimed novelist. It's like as if all of Taylor Swift's tweets were published in a book, and then 2,000 years later, Taylor Swift is considered an acclaimed writer. I mean, blank space is great, but it is not poetry. On Station Mambo's Wikipedia page, there is a section called Rivals, plural, and it just says me, singular. Like, stop putting us on the same playing field just because we live during the same time. Say is a poser. I, like, made art. I have to say, though, she cooks bok choy super well, so I have to keep her around. But the next time she calls herself a celebrated storyteller, I will punch her face in. Man, I really have some, like, deep-seated anger issues. I should go talk to someone about that.
We certainly don't need to keep talking about Say.
I know. Lady Kishosho says I shouldn't let her get under my skin. Oh, Lady Kishosho is a real friend, BT Dubs. I love her. Well, I don't know. TBH Kishosho has so many issues. Like, she's so sensitive. I was like, your hair is getting long. And she was like, oh, and she, I'm so sorry. I will change it. And I was like, you literally didn't do anything. Stop that. Just take a moment to give yourself a little self-worth, Kishosho. This is not good for you. So, yeah, she's kind of a mess. But at least she keeps me in check. You need a friend who keeps you in check. I was talking to Kishosho about hot springs or the lack thereof in America one day, and she was like, Saki, I think America has more important issues to face. Like, hot springs are a luxury, but no family ever should not have a bidet. That is a hygienic need. Disease prevention, you know? And I was like, you are so right, Kishosho. Thank you for keeping me in check. What a good friend. She might be one of my top friends, but I don't know what category. Because she's definitely on the bottom rung of my friends talent-wise, but that's not her fault because I know me. Obviously. And she's not my prettiest friend either, but she's like in the top five. Top 10. Well, it's hard because she kind of flip-flops from 5 to 7, so it's difficult to say exactly. Mia no Naishi is definitely my 6th prettiest friend. No doubt. When I write my friends by prettiness, usually Dynamo is a top friend, but don't ever tell her I said that because she really needs to control her ego right now. But I rankings. Kishosho and Diagon and Mia and I, should, we go way back since my entourage days, when we were part of Empress Shoshi's Lady Crew together. Wait, do you all know this? Do you all know that I served the second Empress after I wrote my nationally acclaimed novel? Do they all know that I wrote, that I served the second Empress after I wrote my nationally acclaimed novel?
There may be some folks who don't know. Please, do elaborate on your experience at the palace.
Oh, okay. So I served the second Empress after I wrote my nationally acclaimed novel. Like, it was a job. It wasn't a maid job, not like on Downton Abbey. Like, my job was to teach second Empress Shoshi how to read and to help her get ready for stuff and then, like, hype her. It was kind of like a lady-in-waiting slash royal poet slash tutor slash groupie sort of job. Some people viewed it as a step down, but it was really more of a lateral move. Like if J.K. Rowling was asked to come live at the English Queen's palace and, like, taught her how to write and help put the crown on her head every couple of days,
second Empress? What is that?
It's the Empress that came second.
Right?
You know what you're all thinking. Second Empress means second hoe, right? Not exactly. She's just like most of the globe before Jesus Christ became well-known, and even after, really, because Jesus wasn't like super influential globally until the 1980s. Anyway, Japanese emperors could have more than one wife, but not more than one empress. The Empress title was an honor only the first wife could have. The first wife at the time was Empress Taishi, and the second wife was my girl, Shoshi. But the emperor at the time was a teenager, and he was super hormonal and probably horny and probably thought he could do anything, like all teenage boys.
Yeah.
He was so crazy about Shoshi that he promoted her to second empress. And all the advisors were like, no! And he was like, yes! And they were all like, no! Oh, wait, we can't actually do anything because he's the emperor! And the emperor was like, yes. And really, Shoshi was better, evidenced by the fact that she attracted a better crew. Example A, guess who was in Taishi's posse? Yep. Example B, Seishoka. Did I use yes correctly?
I don't think I can speak on behalf of the usage of yas, but Ms. Murasaki, perhaps now would be a great time to talk about some of the other things the audience has come to hear.
I think we've got a lot of our bases covered. Yeah.
Well, there were a couple of things that we brought up in our meeting beforehand that perhaps you could touch on.
Oh, crap, I forgot the most important thing.
Yes.
I got this, no worries. So, I collect zero royalties on the book I wrote, just like this bookstore makes $0 some days. So, if you want to make sure they can afford to keep the full Nicholas Sparks collection in stock, just give them some money in either or both of the buckets on the tables. Wait, there's only one bucket. Oh, whoops. That seemed good, right? Does that fulfill my contractual needs? Because my dad was like semi-mini important. And then I went to the palace where money wasn't really a thing. And now that I'm dead, it's still actually not really a thing. I mean, women really have to pay attention to money. Don't you work a lady cent to the man dollar or something?
Well, it is all the same currency, but actually,
gender is so complicated now. When I was alive, you had a penis or a vagina, and then that one part of you determined your whole life. And it didn't occur to me how unfair or unhappy I was because of being disrespected or not having rights or choices. Now you get to do cool things, like choose your gender, and like be a part of a people with your gender. Whoa, a people with your gender. I sound so inspirational right now. You know, sometimes I think it would be fun to have a penis, but sometimes I don't. Like, what do you do when you're not using it?
It's more about me. Children get such a kick out of it. Yes, that, of course. and it had been a while since I was engrossed in something. So I read it, and afterwards, I decided people should know more about the first novel in the world. Your book inspired me to start this book birthday series to get more events going at Parchment Books. It was through Genji that I decided that I shouldn't give up.
Wow, I'm pretty cool for making good business for you. Do you want to talk more about the book and its specifics?
Well, I think it might be more insightful if the author spoke about it.
Words are words from whoever's mouth.
But this is the inaugural event in the series, and I'm sure we'd all love to hear your take on what the book is about.
I'm fine, okay. So, the tale of Genji is about this prince named Genji. Surprise! And his mother dies, the emperor's wife, and he falls in love with another one of the emperor's wives, his stepmom, but that's not okay, even back then. So then he falls in love with this other lady, but she dies. And then he falls in love with this lady who's already married, but she says no because she was married. And then he falls in love with this 10-year-old girl named Murasaki, and he kind of kidnaps her. Oh, it's not like rapey or anything. It's a little weird. I mean, it's not pedo-y or anything. So it's all good. He's going to raise her right. This Murasaki is not me, by the way. It's my character that I'm named after. I know it's usually the other way around, but people didn't write down women's names back then, so woof. They picked Murasaki for me. Genji has to wait for Murasaki to grow up to fall in love with her and marry her, so he marries a different lady. And then he falls in love with this other lady, but then he gets bored.
Miss Murasaki?
I guess in retrospect, I kind of wrote the lines for a soap opera, which I am totally okay with as my own accomplishment.
Miss Murasaki?
I don't know if I remember what happens next. I mean, it's a long
Miss Murasaki, I actually am not sure that a synopsis is necessary, as most of the people here probably already read it. Maybe you can speak to how your process was in writing it?
Oh, I don't know. With a brush? We wrote with brushes and ink then, and then on parchment paper, lots of that, and then other people copied it onto other parchment paper with other brushes and stuff. What is your process like in being a bookstore manager?
That doesn't seem particularly relevant.
Our jobs were very different. My process will sound even more exciting when we compare it to yours.
Well, I suppose I am... Check the inventory of the books we have and make sure that the cash transactions are correct.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And
I manage the staff.
You mean Gary?
Yes, our one staff member, Gary. But he has the enthusiasm and disposition of a staff of 10.
I thought he called out sick today.
Yes.
Don't you get bored?
Never. I love books. They let me explore all the possibilities in the world.
Oh my God, that's really good.
Thank you.
Do you love all books?
A lot of them. No one can read all, although that is an ambition of mine.
Do you have a favorite book? It's okay if it's not mine. I won't be offended. Unless it's The Pillow Book, in which case I will have to kill you.
Can you do that?
Perhaps.
The Pillow Book does have its merits, but The Tale of Genji is a far superior piece of literature.
Tell me more.
But my favorite book. That is such a hard question. The answer I usually give is The Neverending Story, mostly for nostalgic reasons. A lot of people know the movie series, but the book is so rich on its own. It's German, actually, and I really wanted to learn German so I could read it in the way it was meant to be read. But they only taught Chinese, Latin, and Spanish in my high school, so I took Chinese because I figured it would be a challenge. But when I got to college, I thought that this would be my chance to learn German, but my advisor told me it's rare to find people who are proficient with Chinese and that I'm probably not going to really learn a whole language this late in the game, so I better choose Chinese as my language class. But then the Chinese professor sued the school for asbestos poisoning, and nobody wanted to associate with him. And I do like to think that I can think for myself, but I felt the same way about your novel as I did with The Neverending Story, Miss Murasaki. I mean, its English translations are beautiful, but I'm sure that's doubled in the Japanese, and I'm afraid I'll never get to read that. What?
So, did you know that the Chinese stole the Japanese written language from us?
I'm fairly certain it was the other way around.
I tried, people.
You wrote The Tale of Genji in Chinese characters, didn't you? As that was the written language in Japan at the time?
Uh-huh.
In preparation for today, I studied a little bit of Japanese.
Did you now?
Yes, it was actually relatively easier than I expected because I already knew some of the Chinese characters.
Cool.
But you spoke English so perfectly, I was surprised.
I've been around for a while.
If you'd like, I can try some Japanese out with you right now.
That's okay. Let's get back to my book. What was your favorite part?
Mine?
Yeah.
I don't think anyone will want to hear mine. I'd love to hear yours.
Let's compare.
I actually love the Lavender chapter, the Murasaki chapter. The one where you are introduced, well, not you, your character. And I mean, they are, of course, all your characters, but little Murasaki, little Lavender. Because Murasaki can mean lavender, right? And also deep purple, which is the color reserved for Japanese royalty. Is that correct?
Ooh, yeah.
This chapter is so fascinating. Genji is so consumed with his love of Fujitsubo, but because he can't have her since she is his stepmother, he tries everything he can to fill his hunger for love. That's really the drive of the first part of the novel, the reason why he has so many love affairs. He wants someone to thrill him, like she does, but you can't replace love that easily. And then he meets this little girl, 10 years old, and she reminds him of Fujitsubo. And he thinks she's going to blossom into her replacement. So he plucks you, like a lavender. That's why he calls you Murasaki, with the intention of turning you. Not you, Murasaki, into the woman of his dreams. He's creating himself a love. And he's so sad and terrible because she's 10 years old. And she doesn't even know what love is. And she ends up living this life controlled to be the shadow of a different person. And for a lot of the novel, Genji treats her like a prize horse, which is truly terrible on principle, but also strangely beautiful and tragic, because that's what love can drive you to do. That's what true passion can do, especially when it's locked away from you. Passion drives you to insanity, to madness, and that's what you're saying.
Hey,
you really understand love. Miss Murasaki, you really do.
Thank you.
Were you ever in love?
That's a little.
Well, I was just wondering because you talk about missing your husband in your diaries in an affectionate way, but there are scholars who question the nature of your relationship.
Yes. I did have a husband. Yes. For a few years.
I'm so sorry he passed away so soon after you were married.
Me too.
Did you find solace from your grief when you wrote the novel?
Maybe. A little. I think I was sad. Yeah, a little. Marriage, so it's not like the passion wasn't like,
But you loved him.
I guess. I just got used to him being there, so it's mostly just confusion. Just a lot of not knowing, I guess, how to live. minor stuff. Like we have to keep these people entertained.
Oh. Yeah, right, of course. Perhaps a little break for me. Perhaps this is the time for the Q&A, the questions and answers session.
Is that right?
I think this is the appropriate time.
I mean, is that correct?
The correct time for audience members to ask questions?
Say the thing again.
The correct time for audience members to...
Say the name of the session.
The Q&A session?
The full title, please.
The questions and answers session?
Are you sure it's full?
There's only one session.
No, the questions and answers.
The questions and answers session.
No, the question and answer session.
That's what I said.
No, you said the questions and answers session.
Yes, I did.
Singular.
Yes, there's only one session.
No, the questions and answers.
Right. The questions and answers session.
No.
No, sorry. The questions and answers session.
No. Singular.
I mean it singular.
No, all of it. All of it is singular.
There is only one session, so it is all singular.
No, the questions and answers, those are singular.
As in they will be unique? I'm sure they will.
No, in the title, the question and answer session.
Oh. No.
What do you mean, no?
That's not correct.
I'm pretty sure it is.
But there will be more than one question and answer.
I know, but the event is called the question and answer session.
But the singular session will feature multiple questions and answers, so the event is titled accordingly.
Yes, but there is only one action. A question is asked and an answer is given.
And that action is repeated.
Yes, but it is just one action. In hurling practice, you hurdle a lot, but you wouldn't call it hurling's practice.
Hurdling is a gerund, and questions and answers are not. They're not an action, they are items, a session full of such items, questions and answers.
It's hyphenated. Question and answer session.
Questions and answer session.
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 On to book signing and whatever.
No, we are moving forward with the questions and answers session because that is what we advertise and we cannot be sued for false advertisement.
Sued for false advertising in the past?
It is a long tale, but it's not for today.
I mean, do these people even have questions? They probably want to pee break.
You guys don't have questions, do you?
Splendid! We'll pass the mic around and please stand when I call on you.
Please keep in mind the rules, especially rule number 2, be respectful or get out.
Yes, the rules. Please be mindful of the Q&A rules. First one, let's see. Eunice.
In the purple.
Hans Murasaki, first of all, such an honor to meet you.
I know, it's actually a miracle.
I was just wondering if you were aware of the time of writing Genji. What a revolutionary, innovative piece you were making. Did you have any concept that you were doing something no one else was doing at the time?
Yeah. Yes, please.
you ma'am in the front?
Thank you so much. You're such an inspiration, and you seem to be acquainted with the current climate, the current cultural climate. And what is your take on the current feminist movement?
I don't really get feminism, but I will say that I am really bummed no one's cured menstruation yet. Next. You, sir.
It has been speculated that you actually went into the Japanese royal court because you were lovers with the emperor's regent. Could you confirm whether or not this is true?
No. Who else?
lady in the green smock? Is that a smock?
What's the best advice you can give to a young female writer?
Don't eat expired chicken and don't forget yogurt has added sugar in it.
Third row.
Can I go to the bathroom?
Sure. I told you. Oh, I don't know. It's to your right, but there's a little construction as we are in the process of putting a code onto the door so you can't open the door. I'm sorry. That sucks. We're working on it. You, sir, in stripes.
Yeah, I teach Asian American studies, and I had a question about Chapter 4, arguably your most significant and most lauded. This is really the first of a series of a full description of Genji as an adult man, as well as Genji's sexual awakening. By making his first lover so below Genji's rank and having him disguise himself and manipulate her into seduction, were you implying that human nature is...
I don't like this question. Anybody else?
I don't think he was right.
I got a feeling. I don't want him to be ejected for his sake.
Right.
Yes, you in the hat.
What are you doing here?
To talk to you people about me, rude.
I mean, in America.
I thought I would grace you Americans with my presence. Aren't you excited?
Oh, yeah, surely. But you seem very up to date on current American pop culture. It seems as if you've been here for a very long time.
A couple decades, a couple centuries. When you're dead, it all goes by so fast.
Why stay?
I don't know. I just came here because America is like the place, you know? It's like where you gotta be.
So you bounce back and forth between here and Japan? What is your take on Japanese culture and how it's progressed in this millennium?
Oh, I don't know. That's just so much, you know? It's too much to sum up in a sentence. You're talking a little too much. Anyone else have a question? No?
It looks like we have one more.
I'm kind of bored by this. Can we move on?
I think we have time for another.
Mugasaki-sama. どうか現地語であっているよう、もっとの言語で読んでくれませんか
?What? I believe he is asking you a question in Japanese. I don't think that's fair to anyone else in this room. Can you please remove this person from the participants? That's not very nice. Here, would you repeat the question one more time? Moi Pai?
Genji no Gatari wo original Japanese de yonde kudasai.
I think he's asking if you would read a bit from the tale of Genji in the original Japanese. Is that correct? Well, I think that would be a treat.
But no one would understand it.
Oh, but, well, it's still the original language spoken by the author's native tongue. I think we would enjoy it, however dead the language is.
But it's ancient Japanese. Not even that person can understand ancient Japanese. No one can.
Then maybe just from the modern Japanese translation. That's at least closer to how it would have originally been received. It's in the public domain. I can pull it up on my tablet.
Look, I came here to give you a little talk and a little insight, but I think this is asking a little too much from a lady pioneer.
Reading aloud in your language a little too much to ask?
I wasn't prepared to do a performance. There are rehearsals involved for that kind of thing.
But you haven't even...
I haven't even what? Shown up from beyond the grave and appeared at your little dinky bookstore that no one knows about and possibly saved it from collapsing?
You're welcome. I mean, of course, we're grateful, but this event was... It was supposed to be a rare look at the book from the author's perspective. Not
authors don't know more about the books than the people that read them. Just read my diary. We experience it pretty much the same as you all.
But even just hearing your take, your inspiration, just hearing you talk about anything in relation to the book can help us understand it better. This piece from so long
god, I have been so stupid.
I am Murasaki Shikibu. That is my name. That's what people call me. That's all you need to know. Now, if you'll excuse me, I think I have been insulted enough.
Why would Murasaki Shikibu...
I don't need to tell you where I've been or what I thought or anything. That's not anybody's business but my own. And who cares anyway?
You have to at least tell me who you are. You owe me that much.
I don't owe you anything.
Please. Just, who are you?
I don't know.
Stop it. If you wanted someone to make fun of, well, I hope you've had your full, but just give me the dignity of telling me who you are. Tell me you're a real person. You can laugh about it later. You can tell everybody about the crazy, lifeless book shrew later. I need to know who you are.
I'm Murasaki Shikibu. I will call the police right now if you do not tell me in one sentence who you are. Who are you? Who are you? I don't know. Okay? I don't know. I don't really know. That is the answer to your question. Because I forgot. I don't remember. Isn't that crazy? I don't remember. I don't remember how I wrote it or what I was thinking or anything. Really. And I don't remember Japanese. I don't remember my language. Crazy, right? I don't remember my life because you want to know why? Here's what doesn't happen when you die. Your memory does not get better. You do not remember for eternity. No, it's been 1,000 years for my brain too. And I don't know, I spent so much time here waiting in this country and it just plopped out of my brain. I guess I forgot, I forgot. So all I know, all I can maintain is what you all know and what you all kept and what you all broke down, what other people wrote about me, which wasn't a lot. And what I wrote, I guess, but I don't know. And I don't know what happens in it. I guess you can tell me, Lizzie, you can tell everybody here. But I should
world's first novel, didn't I? Why do I feel like my life? I hate this language, by the way. It's so ugly. You don't even have a single verb for taking cover from the rain until it passes. You have to explain it like that. One word for the most romantic thing in the world. So, here I am, Murasaki Shibu. Except that. Aren't you all glad to meet me? So much.
Who?
Genji. I think they call you Murasaki because he loved you so much. I mean, her. Genji loved Murasaki. And your readers, the whole of Japan, they loved Genji. So they loved her. But while he was not always kind to her, but when she dies, he... Oh, wait. Here. He brushed the tears away and struggled to see through them as the sight of the dead face brought them flooding back again. Her beauty, as if in untroubled sleep, emptied words like peerless of all content. A high wind came up one evening, and he remembered with a new onset of sorrow an evening of high winds long before. He had seen her so briefly, and at her death, that brief glimpse had been like a dream. Invoking the name of Lord Amatiba, he sought to drive away these almost unbearable memories and to let his tears lose themselves among the beads of his rosary. I remember an autumn evening long ago as a dream in the dawn when we were left behind. Still, Genji's tears flowed on. He thought back over his life. He had made his way ahead in the world as if he had not learned the lesson. And now had come grief, which surely did single him out from all men, past and future. He would have nothing more to do with the world. That's write a story for the Everest. And I gazed out at the full moon shining on the water, and there was a little island in the middle of the lake. I was so overcome with the beauty that the image of the character Genji arose. That's a very romanticized version of what happened. Really, it was more than that. An accumulation of thoughts over time. I think since I was pretty much in an arranged marriage, as were a lot of my peers, the idea of actually falling in love with someone and needing to have them was genuinely an exciting concept. It's why there were a lot of extramarital affairs then, but I also think that that is why the book is so popular. I actually learned to love my husband. He was fun and funny, and when he was with me, he made me feel loved. He had affairs constantly, which was fine. Well, it wasn't always fine, but that's just the way the world worked. And I wasn't so much jealous of the other women, but jealous of him. His freedom and passion and ability to go out and do whatever he wanted in the world. There are people who ask me why my main character is a man and not a woman. But men could just do so much more. I felt a need to explore the world. I think the character of Genji was born out of that need. Someone whose emotions could just carry him around anywhere and everywhere. Someone who acted on impulse and wore his heart on the outside. I didn't come up with Genji that night. But on that legendary evening, I did find inspiration from the movie to come up with his name. Hikaru Genji, Source of Light.
And what inspired you to tell stories?
Oh, people in Japan back then were poets all the time. Everyone. It's just like what you did. Like, you send texts to people now. except in our time, poetry was meant to be vague. So even the most romantic were vague. Like, that tree, the way it moved, is how I think of you. It could be any tree, it could be any person. And the Japanese language is set up to be vague, so I guess I had a lot of thoughts about specifics. Like, in what specific moment would you start this poem? So my thoughts about high storytelling definitely started there. I think when I was 5, 6 maybe? I don't know. There was someone important, I think, was visiting my father, and then, this is so dumb, he was leaving and his book fell open. And that's it. Just that quick little image of the words on the page, just seeing it fall open. I'm not sure why, but that stuck with me. Yeah.
How about you?
That felt like it might be true.
And maybe it is.
Maybe. Thank you.
My pleasure. What would you like to do now?
I don't know. I'd like a nap, I guess.
We all. But first, perhaps it would be all right if we went on with the book signing.
Would anyone want it?
You are Murasaki Shikibu. You are a literary great. You wrote the first goddamn novel. Everybody here should want your autograph.
I like whatever this thing you're doing is.
Thanks. Also, it was very prominently featured on the advertisement, so I better not skip it.
Oh yeah, that thing, sure.
You heard her. It's like kind of a really big deal that I came here for you, so you really need to take this opportunity to come up here and meet. Please line up one by one, and Murasaki Shikibu will sign copies of the book. I will also distribute pieces of paper that you can later staple in. Thank you all so much